Welcome to the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And now, your host, Big Bad Boris.
That's right, children, perfect and holy daughters and sons of the world. It's time for another edition of the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast, and we're back on the road again. We have entered the palatial, sprawling estate of Mr. Colton Kelly. Colton Kelly, how the hell are you?
I'm good. How are you?
There's that energy.
Woo!
That's right. Firing hard right out of the gate. How you doing? We haven't seen each other in a while.
No,
how
it's been a bit.
You?
It's been a minute. I'm
it's
good.
Been a minute.
I'm good.
That's what
I'm
the
good.
Cool kids say, right? Thank you for having me in your home.
Yes, palatial.
Where you come to play.
I come to lay.
With your toys. You come to lay?
On my couch.
Ah, well, I'm on your couch now. So.
Yes, in your spot.
All right, so I want to ask you a couple of things. You are a second-generation professional wrestling superstar.
Number two.
So you kind of grew up in this.
Yes.
Tell me the first memory you have of your father, and that's a whole separate episode all on its own. But tell me the first memory that you have of your father in terms of him being a professional wrestler.
That's crazy. I've never been asked that before. I have one like that sticks out like distinctly because it was like a show in Two Hills. It might have been a PWA show. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But probably not. I don't know. But I was with my Aunt Rhonda, which is my dad's sister. And then obviously, geez. My aunt.
Yeah, but you have aunts on your mother's side as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of siblings. So we were like front row, and then I think if I remember correctly, that's when Dad got smashed with the ashtray
by
Ruffy.
Oh, Ruffy. Okay.
And it like split his eyebrow from, and it like his eyebrow like dangled like underneath of his eye.
And were you like horrified, or were you like, "This is fucking awesome"?
No, I just knew that's like. I kayfabe didn't exist in my life. Like I knew not to talk about it, but like I always knew that like it was a show.
It was you knew the deal.
Yes, I, like from a very young age, especially because like Dad did like hardcore stuff, so like I was always aware that like
we're gonna talk about that a little bit later.
Blood in wrestling is blood in wrestling, and it's not like Daddy's it's real, but it's not like
Daddy's okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
So I've known you. When did I meet you?
I don't know. Probably.
Because as many people know, I used to manage your dad.
Yeah.
Because
so when did you start with PWA?
Cursing. When did I start? Oh, God.
Because that's like literally how you would, like, that's how you
what,
know.
26 now?
I'm 26.
This. So.
Jesus.
Yeah, I've probably known you since you were maybe 10 years old.
At least.
When did you realize that this is, that you wanted to do that as well?
For always?
Or are you still working on that now?
I'm probably still working. That's not, I wrestle. I'm a wrestler.
When was the last time you wrestled?
February of 2020.
Calgary? PWA?
Yes. Tag match.
You and who?
Me and Mo,
You and Mo Jabari?
Against Thickness and Pride.
And that was the last match you had?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, so right from the get-go, right from when you remember when you were young, you wanted to do
this. Yeah, but then, like, I'd go through phases of, like, if I, like, publicly wanted to or not, or if I was, like, being, like, rebellious in whatever way I could be and being, like, I don't want to wrestle just because, like, I had nothing really to rebel against. They're, like, my mom had very like tight guidelines on me like growing up, and then my dad was like very like, as long as you don't kill yourself, like you can do what you want to do.
No one's pregnant?
Yeah, so it literally that's how. Yeah.
Do you have any like cool stories that you remember in locker rooms or whatever when you were younger? Anything funny that you noticed or anything funny that happened to you? Who gave you your first bump? That kind of thing.
The Night of Champions that we were supposed to be outside at the casino.
That was 10?
Yeah, that was the one.
I wasn't there.
You weren't?
No.
Oh, weird.
That was when I was having problems with my mental health and I took some time away.
Yeah, so, well, that's the other thing. Like, all the wrestling memories, like, bleed together.
Oh, absolutely, so. Yeah.
And there's tons of stuff from when I'm, like, younger as well. But, like, for me, like, because I would spend summers with my dad and then, like, I wouldn't be, like, around really, like, the rest of the year. So I'd, like, see shows every, like, now and again in Edmonton at Nate's still.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, like, just jumped over to the casino, and I would, like, see shows more often, but, like, still not as much. And then I was there for that night of Champions because, like, it was summer, and I was at, like, every night of Champions, especially because they're, like, big shows. And then we, like, go to the Foley comedy night, and then, like, Al Snow comes and, like, sits behind, like, me and Cody and is, like, telling us that, like, or Kenneth Anthony.
Kayfabe.
Yeah. and, like, so, like, me and him are, like, sitting there, and, like, Al's, like, just making, like, little comments, being like, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. And then, so, like, stuff like that would happen, and we'd just be like, oh, my God, like, this is crazy. And then we were at the Coliseum for the match between, like, it was Jay Lethal and someone.
At the Coliseum?
Yeah, at the football stadium.
Oh, at the stadium.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then so we, like, went up to the, like, walkway, and then, like, we see, like, Kurt and everyone, and, like, Jay Lethal's, like, standing there eating a hot dog, and I was like, oh, my God, it's the Black Machismo. What is happening? And then he wanted Pepsi the next day, and we had, like, just done, like, our first, like, day of training sort of thing ever, for me at least. And
who wanted Pepsi? Jay?
Jay wanted Pepsi. Jay, and so, like,
we have that here in Canada.
Yeah.
Pepsi's
so,
readily available.
Yeah, you just wanted Pepsi. Like, someone asked him what he wanted, and that's all he wanted. So, like,
it's like that Suicidal Tendency song.
Yeah.
All he wanted was a Pepsi.
So then he, like, he's just like, do you want a Pepsi? Because, like, they brought me a case, and I don't drink that many Pepsis.
That
and
sounds like something we would do. He asked for one Pepsi.
Exactly.
24.
But it's like stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Like, the bigger memories are kind of like, like, it's like you see a guy, like, in the hallway, and you're like, holy hell, like, you know, but...
Did you ever go to the Hart House or anything when you were
younger? Yeah, I definitely, like, at least remember being told that I've been, like, seen the inside, I've seen the outside as far as, like, my recollection is. Yeah, I mostly, like, remember, like, being, like, in the backyard in the ring, anything, like, that's, like, the clearest sort of my own memories. But yeah, like, there's all, like, there's stories of, like, being around Cuban Assassin, there's stories of, but I don't, like, specifically remember it, but, like, I've seen whatever evidence there is.
Do you feel like you grew up different than a lot of other kids?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, of course. Especially, like, at school and stuff, when, like, people are, like, there just comes a point
who
where
who is your,
like,
daddy and what does he do?
Yeah. And then it's like, well, my dad wrestles, and then it's like, oh, is he Stone Cold Steve Austin? I was like, well, not every wrestler is Stone Cold Steve Austin, even though he looks like him. Especially to, like, kid eyes, my dad kind of looks like a Steve Austin type.
Say the meanest shit ever, but I stopped.
Yeah, like we... Yeah, you definitely...
Remind me after, and I'll tell you what I was going
to
say.
He appears to, like, that's... His look fell into that bald goatee dude, you know? So, yeah, kids are like, your dad's Stone Cold. And I was like, no, like, not every wrestler is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Anyway, and then, like, it gets to the point where you just, like, don't want to talk about it because, like, kids are either like, well, it's bullshit and it's fake.
Yeah,
and then you're like, don't want to defend it. So you don't even, like, bring it up when kids are, like, talking about Jeff Hardy and stuff. You're just like, I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut. But I did learn that, like, WWE changed its name to WWE because of a kid at a playground.
What?
When WWF sued, the World Wildlife Foundation sued WWE for the name.
Yeah.
A child told me that information because I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling.
A child told me that.
I was like, no, Vince would never. Like, little, like, 6-7-year-old Matias. Vince would never. Because I was a merc.
When I was a little kid, my dad used to try to tell me, like, back in the 80s, my dad would try to tell me, Vince McMahon owns the whole thing. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's just a commentator. He doesn't own anything. Jack Tunney runs this whole operation here. Apparently, he's getting an action figure, a Jack Tunney action figure.
Really?
Yeah, we got to get one of those.
They've been really going all out with the figures lately.
Yeah,
it's been it's a whole world. I get some stuff every now and again. I do have two AEW figures I found at the Slave Lake Sylvan Lake. That's a different lake in Alberta. The Sylvan Lake Walmart.
Sylvan Lake Walmart had AEW action figures. Which ones did you get?
A Pac and a Nick Jackson.
So just one lonely buck.
Yep.
One young buck.
That's all they had. I bought them all.
Who gave you your first bump in a ring?
Myself.
Okay. Who gave you a bump assisted?
Ooh, I honestly can't remember.
Who?
I was kind of trained by committee.
So who was involved in that? Obviously, your dad would have been. I assume that Johnny Devine would have been because your dad and Johnny Devine were close.
But he wasn't like around for like training. No. Like who first? Like
he might have been doing the Impact thing.
Yeah, he was time, right? Like he was like growing up. Like Johnny Devine was wrestling. Like he was on TV. Mm-hmm. That was like he was like the one that was out there from like our area at the time. Like obviously other guys were doing other things, but he was the one on TV, yeah. Right? Like that's. And then, like, I was close to him, like, super close to him when I was a kid, like, at shows and, like, everything. Like, he was, like, one of my uncles. And, mm-hmm. like, I got, like, wrestling uncles and, like wrestling's, like, family just because it's, like, the world I was in.
Yeah, and it's always been there.
Yeah. And then, so, but, like, Thunder came up, and I remember, like, Thunder teaching us, like, sunset flips, like, super early. Which is like a strangely specific thing, but like
Red Thunder taught me sunset flips.
But like, yeah, like Thunder's always been like there and like really good to me growing up, and like he's obviously like amazing at like fundamental things. Mm-hmm. And then like I would get like in ring time with like Dirty Duke, and then like. I was like really lucky that like Dean wanted to come in and like roll around with me. Mm. So yeah, I'd get like cool things like that where like dad's generation of guys would come in and like want to help us. And like me and Kenneth Anthony, like they'd want to like be there to like help and like lend what they can. And so it was like a lot of like kind of like, this is what we want you to do. And like not figure it out, but like here's the steps, and then like you guys produce,
and that's a good crew of people to learn from too.
Yeah. And then there was like our guys as well, like Kamikaze, Michael Richard Blaze, like there was a lot of like people who are like super super helpful. And then there was a lot of guys that were like, I guess in like the middle of their training phase, like Sheik, Akbar mm-hmm. Shabazz, mm-hmm. like he was like finishing, right? Like, so he would be like at camp all the time. Like the hangar days is like when we were like across from Nate hangar, was yeah. like, those were like when everyone was there, we were like 5 days a week, yeah. like 3 to 4 hours a week. Like that was like when we still had like a real hub of like a place that everyone could come, everyone could train. We were like there all the time. And then I'm like 14, like, yeah. So I start training when I'm 14. And then, so it's like 14, 15. We're just like wrestling all the time.
First match was Force Pro.
Yes. Tag. Well,
Force Pro Wrestling was a company that your father runs/ran. I don't know what the status of it is right now. Are you with your
it's hands a pandemic.
Here? Yeah, well, is there any kind of...
I'm not in loops
you're
right
not
now.
In the loop. So your first match was...
My first match was a tag match, I want to say, against C-Block.
Okay.
And...
Who are you teaming with?
I was tagging with Chance Beckett.
Chance Beckett and Colton Kelly.
The inventor
C-Block.
Of the pinwheel suplex.
Now, who went over in this Chance Beckett-filled encounter?
I'm pretty sure we did. Actually, I don't know. We could have got beaten. I don't remember. I was very nervous. I hadn't wrestled in like 6 months, mm-hmm. and they kind of were just like, hey, this is what you're doing. And I was like,
now, I'm going to ask you about a story that's been talked about on a couple of different podcasts now that you're right in the middle of. And I want to hear it from your perspective, because Duke talked about this on his show.
Yeah.
And I talked about it as well. The night in Calgary when PWA put the tag team titles on you guys.
Oh, jeez.
Shot the finish and didn't tell you about it. I want to hear it from your perspective now as somebody in that match who maybe not as funny as it was to the rest of us, because everybody knew. Like, I knew. Everybody knew.
Yeah, so we...
So tell me about it from your perspective.
We didn't know.
it was you and Thickness.
Me,
right?
And Thickness, yeah. Yes. My tag partner at the time. And then so we go on to have the second longest reign in tag title history for us.
Who's longest?
Team Hall of Fame.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
by
enough.
Like 3 days. So that's,
oh, really?
And then we lost it to them, which was fun.
So go back to that night.
So it's a triple threat tag with us, Sean Moore, and Alexander Prime. And then Chris Steele and Dirty Duke.
And Duke, yes.
And I heard what he said, and I appreciate that sentiment from him. Like, it's like he was doing the right thing. Like, I do feel like it was like a fun way to have everything unfold. And it led to a one-of-a-kind reaction from the two of us that there's never been a celebration like that, I don't think, in wrestling.
You've never seen two guys less happy to win a title.
Yeah, so we go through the match. It's pretty easy to put together, considering there's like six people.
And the talent.
Yeah, they're all like incredible, and we were very, very lucky to have good tag teams around us. And like, we spent a lot of time like building up to some sort of run. So we like go through the match, put the match together. It's like totally fine. Whatever's going to happen, like Sean's going to kick out, and then...
Because Duke and Steele went up first, right? And then it was left with you and...
Yeah, there was some schmaltzy beginning, I think, where we were like, take like Duke and Chris Steele out of like the equation. And then like, yeah, I don't remember the match like completely, but... So we go to like do the finish, and Sean's supposed to kick out, and I'm waiting for Sean to kick out, and all I hear him say, like all I hear him say as Mo goes, so like Mo Jabari is reffing.
Oh, okay.
And so he's like, we hit one, we hit two, and then I feel Sean's hand on my shoulder, and he goes, it's three. And then Mo hits three, and I'm like,
oh shit, oh shit.
What the hell? And like, Sean doesn't like, he holds me down, but he's like, doesn't like let me in on the fact that like, listen, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. No one, like, there's no communication. So I'm waiting for like Prime to come in and break up the count. There's no one around, and you don't like lift. Like, if the person doesn't kick out, they don't kick out. That's mm-hmm. not my fault.
Yeah.
So they hand, like, we get the belts handed to us, and Reed's just looking at me, and he's like, what do we do? And I was like,
playing. And
I don't, I pretend like this was supposed to happen? Like, I don't know what to tell you. And we're just like, we raised the belts, and
I wish I had the film in
like,
front of me right now.
I clink them together, I think, yeah. And then we, like, roll out, and then we don't even like really acknowledge anyone, and like my girlfriend's not there. I'm not sure if like Reed's girlfriend was there. Kurt, like earlier in the night, walked by and was like, they're putting the belt on you boys, and me and Reed are like, what, that's not true. And then we like talked ourselves like out of it, because there was no mention of it, and we just thought like Kurt was just like making a Kurt comment. Yeah. I love Kurt, but just joke. Like, yeah, we just didn't think anything of it. And then so we, like, finish the match, and we, like, get to the apron, like, as quick as possible. Like, we get to the curtain as quick as possible, and we, like, hop, like, back, and we're both, like,
it was right before intermission, too.
Yeah, like, I think there was, like, I don't know. I don't know what the plan was. Like, there was no plan for us. So we just, like, go into the back, and we're, like, immediately go to, like, Chris Steele and Duke, And we're like, oh, we're so sorry. Like, we didn't, like, mean to, like, blow the finish. Like, what are we going to do? Like, we got to get these belts off of us. Like, it's not, like, and Jordy's just, like, gives us both a hug. And he's like, no, boys, it's your time. Like, this is surprise. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, wonderful and, like, excellent. And we, like, got on our phones and, like, called our people. And, like,
do you feel like they stole your moment a little bit?
Well, like, I mean... It's still a moment. It's still a good moment. It's a fun, different moment. Like, yeah, like, I've never won another title. Like, it's...
I could have swore you were Mayhem
champion. No, I was in a pro... I was in other programs, but, like, there's just nothing ever, like, panned out that, like, I've had another run. So, like, I do understand, like, the sentiment of him being, like, well, like, this could be, like... Like, their first title is, like... It is meaningful. Like, it does have, like, a real meaning, especially to, like, someone like me who has, like, grown up in it and seen all... Like, our lineage is important to me. And so, like, the having that belt was, like, important in, like, the span of the fact that, like, finally, like, there's a mark in, like, our history that, like, I've actually, like, contributed.
You know, your dad didn't have a title until he was under my tutelage.
I know.
Just for the record.
I was there.
I know. I'm just being...
Remember.
Okay. We're going to talk a little hardcore, but first we're going to go to your first track.
Yeah.
Now, you are a hip-hop aficionado.
Yes.
You are very much into the hip-hop, so I figured you'd pick two hip-hop songs. You didn't, but the first one you picked is a hip-hop song. I want you to tell me what song is and why you picked it.
So I had very, like, you know, this was a battle for me. Cause
oh, yeah, picking two songs out of the myriad.
Crazy.
Especially when you're passionate about music.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, so the A$AP Rocky song is the first
one,
right?
This is not A$AP Rock.
No, that's a different guy. Correct? Yes, and A$AP Rock is also amazing, and I did consider a song from him.
Okay.
Because I'm across the board. There was also a Leaders of the New School song that I was considering, which is a Busta Rhymes group from like the 90s.
And what about Bobby Shmurda?
He's wonderful. It's a great song. And his hat never comes down. It's amazing. But no, so anyway. Yes, I think this is A$AP Forever. It's off A$AP Rocky's last album, and it's just very, very, very good.
Is there any kind of meaning, or it's just a jam?
It's a jam.
It's a tasty jam, as Tenacious D would say.
Me and the girlfriend would drive around, listen to it. It's a good song.
You know, she's got a name.
Marissa.
She's sitting right next to
Marissa.
You right now.
Say
hi,
Marissa.
I guarantee the microphone didn't pick that up.
No,
okay,
probably not.
So we're going to go to some music. We're going to go to A$AP Forever, A$AP Rocky. This is the Punkin' Potters podcast, and we shall return.
They talking down on my name. Don't let them run off with the name. Man, I just run with the gang. A$AP boys came with the flame. Gang, gang. They talking down on the gang. They want to rap with the name. But this ain't no regular name. Gang, gang. They trying to run with the name. I might pull up with 3K, but I do not with no claim. Gang, gang, them boys not flexing the same. I'm done with adjusting the fame. Pull up on your set, leave a stain. Gang, gang, I tell them come fuck with the gang. I tell them don't fuck with the gang. It's time to fuck the whole gang. Come fuck with the mob. Shout out to the laws and the gods. In love with my bitch cause she vibe. My eyes like the stars. I tell her cover your eyes. Cause with me you go blind. She losing her mind. We kiss the Frank Ocean and blind. Convincing my bitch go blonde. Was born in the dark. I can't give you open my blinds. On yams and that's worth of my mom. Modular mammoth with cases. I'm still trying to beat a bunch of from a long time ago. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Like dominoes, Geronimo's. When is my time to go out of yours? Vominos, Laco, no Dominicano. But eat the toast, on it's with Platinos. Dealing with life in its highs and lows. I'm just spending like I'm supposed. I guess it's called living, I suppose. I'm on my live alone, dive alone. Ain't talking about spending or buying clothes. I'm about my business, but I'm alone. I still had the vision when I was broke. Getting on bitches and foreign. Flying out women's to boring shows. I pray to God I don't overdose. I put A$AP on my tat. I put New York on the map. I put the gang on the flame. They gon' remember the name. They robbing boys with the chain. I got go yard by the sack. I got the boo by the pack. I put the boo on the back. Gang, gang. Them boys not flexing the same. I'm done with adjusting the fame. Pull up on your set, leave a stain. Gang, gang. I tell them come fuck with the gang. I tell them don't fuck with the gang. It's time to fuck the whole gang.
Gang.
Gang. They tryna front on the game. They gon' remember my name. Gang. Gang. They tryna front on the game. They said boys came with the flame.
Aesop Rock on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast with Colton Kelly. Now, your father was known for kind of hardcore type things.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel compelled to do that as well?
Yes, I feel compelled to do that. But it's not like 100% like tied into him. It like... There's no escaping, like, watching him and watching that style was, and especially the matches and the people that he, like, had to work with, like, Juggernaut and, like, Sin.
Yes.
They're, like, and, like, that time of hardcore wrestling, like, that early 2000s stuff was so, like, everyone was in love with it. And so, like, I grew up and, like, I... loved ECW. I was like a little kid. Rob Van Dam was the best. And like that was just the wrestling I liked. Like I just love hardcore wrestling. And like when I was like young and had like bad opinions, I'd be like, I don't like deathmatch wrestling because it's like too much. And like I don't agree with that. And like whatever.
Okay.
But to me, hardcore wrestling is like pure wrestling with the added element of weapons. It wasn't like that 90s, like it was just like a chair was another move.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like I don't want to say anything because I don't like it's not disparaging in any way, but it's not like a pizza cutter, you know, like that's something that's like gore and grotesque and like it's
there's a bit more art to it.
There's just it just added something when it was done with thought,
mm-hmm.
and not just and for some, the sake of it. At times, yeah, like it just, especially in that era, like they were. I mean, like the headshots on Raw and stuff, or like it's the headshots are just such a tough argument in general. Just. Like
that's why I'm not a big fan of Matthew Justice.
Yeah.
And again, this is his choice.
Yeah,
but
like, well,
at the same time,
all the
just,
power to you if you
just
want
what
to.
We
but
know now.
Yeah,
it's not something you should be doing. I feel like my microphone's really low, and I'm concerned about how this is going to sound. But whatever. you've done something.
Yes.
Speaking of death matches.
Yes.
That not a lot of people have done in Alberta. And you did the full-fledged deathmatch thing.
Yeah.
In the main event of Clandestine Society Act 1. And I want to talk about that. Whose idea was it to do this? To do that match?
It's to me,
you're hesitating a lot here.
Well, because he's like, he even says himself that, like,
who's he?
Michael. Okay. MRB.
Yes,
Michael. He's the one that asked me if I'd be willing to do it if Evan Adams was willing to come and do it as well. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was 100% a no-brainer. Because, like, I think people consider me to be a hardcore wrestler. And so, like, it's not like, I don't think it's like something everyone has to do. But at this point in, like, the game where we're at, if you can do it and you can do it well, it can be incredibly effective.
Yeah, and it's very, very popular right now.
It's super popular. So we were, it obviously didn't start this way, but we were looking to get as many eyes on us as possible. Mm-hmm. And that was like a way I could lend my talents. And it was against someone who I was, had looked up to just as much as I looked up to MRB and BVD. Mm-hmm. Evan Adams is a super, super underrated, guy, yeah. Super nice, always was kind to me, like, worked his ass off consistently.
Yeah, he was definitely missed in PWA when he left.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, and so, and then I had done stuff with him when I did the Candelo tour and, like, worked with him, like, a few times when I was younger. And it was just like.
You did a death tour?
Yeah, I did one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then. So, like, to get to work him when I really didn't know anything, and then, because I was, like 18 or 19 when I went on the...
Green as goose.
Yeah, yeah, just terrible. I had those bad pants, and, like...
I love those pants.
Yeah.
Didn't they get stolen, or am I thinking of something?
Oh, yeah, like, at one point, my entire gear bag got stolen, and that was miserable. And
sad days.
Yeah, sad days. And so getting to wrestle him again at 20, I think I, or no, not 20, but like 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting to wrestle him at 24, coming off of like having like consistently like bigger, better matches. Like I did like my first main event. We did the Saddle Dome. I did 45 minutes with MRB. And then, like, the next, like, opportunity was, like, a death match against Evan Adams and Sheik Akbar Shabazz, mm-hmm. who asks to be a part of it, that he's insane.
Yeah, he went all in on that.
Too. No, yeah, he, like, they were 100% gung-ho, and so...
So take me back to the night.
Everyone was nervous. Everyone else was nervous.
I was, and this is going to sound maybe kind of silly or whatever, but like I wasn't worried so much for you guys, but I was worried about her.
Yeah.
Your lovely lady to your right. And I remember, if I remember correctly, I took her aside and I said, "Don't worry, everything's going to be fine."
Yeah.
Just because I'm sure it's not easy to watch.
No, your, and it like it,
you know your significant other go through that.
It didn't take convincing, but it had to be.
I thought I did that.
No, you did, and you like came up to me and like you were like you're gonna be okay, and I was like yeah, I know. Like I went into it confident. Like I was very confident.
And I think
it
has to be.
Yeah. It's also like incredible. Like
I was pretty drunk by the time the main event came around too.
There's something very special about a death match, and it's hard to communicate because I think I was just at the stage where I could have something that was so like outside of my element that it like I went into like full control and I was like very cognizant of like everything that was happening. Everything was like super like I was super decisive. All my like instincts were like running, like my timing was good, like, and all three of us clicked.
The match was fantastic.
Yeah, like everything was super easy. We didn't plan a lot. Like each one of us planned like not each one of us, like collectively we planned like big moments, and then we're like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
and so we went out there and fielded out, which gave us like it teaches you how to sell. in a very like instinctual way, because you're not thinking about giving the reaction anymore. You're literally reacting. Mm-hmm. Like there's points where I'm like looking at like my like cuts and
there
like
was early
the
on where there was something with a wrist or an arm or a hand or something.
So
it was early on. I remember
when I did the moonsault onto the light tubes, mm-hmm. I had like gouged myself. Mm-hmm. Because I, like, landed forearms down, which was what it was. But, yeah, so I gouged myself, like, and it was deep. And I, like, couldn't, like, figure it out. So I just, like, went out, got tape, and, like, wrapped it up.
Worry about it later.
Yeah.
So what was the first light tube like? Because I remember you telling me, because you guys each came out with one, right?
Yeah.
And then the match started where you each gave each other a shot. I think I remember you telling me once you got that first shot, you're like, okay, that's what that's like. That's okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, especially because it was like straight across my face because we were doing like over.
Who gave you yours?
Carrot did.
Okay.
Evan Adams did. He gave me my first one and it like came like straight across my cheekbone and I like literally dropped to one knee and then I just like checked my eye because I was like, am I blind now? And then once, like, I realized it was just, like, a little, like, it's just, it stings more than anything. It just, yeah, it's just, like, little, like, pinpricks, like, the entire time. And then I was like, oh, okay, I can, like, deal with this. Like, this is fine. Like, we can get through this. And then, like, I didn't even take, like, the worst glass bumps. Like,
I think
Evan Adams.
Did, yeah, because he took that board.
And yeah, you took
that
board.
Where the fuck did that door come from?
Sheik Akbar Shabazz.
Was that in his garage?
Yes,
or something?
Yes, it was. And he was like, "We need to get rid of this." And I was like, "There's no way I'm going through this thing." And we're putting that window down because I'm not going through that window into
that
terminal.
Door and I'm like, "That ain't no gimmick." Like,
no,
door.
No,
that's
it,
like
was
a
solid.
Back door
it was solid.
Door.
It was solid. It was very solid.
But happy with the way?
No, I'm super. It's. Like, I honestly think it's probably, like, one of my best matches.
And I think just the whole vibe of that whole night.
Yeah, like, it was super, it was super cool, and it was, like...
to end with that match, like, that whole night was awesome.
Yeah, it was, like, it felt like a passing of the torch. Like, there wasn't, like, any sort of hesitation about me winning. I wasn't even, like, thinking that it was, like, a vehicle for me. I was just, like... I was like, okay, well, like, I get this cool match that is, like, a dream match in all actuality for, like, this area.
Yeah, this is a thing to do.
Yeah, this is a thing to do, and it's, to my recollection, I don't know if we've ever had one in the city.
I don't believe there's been anything to that degree of violence.
No.
The only time I can remember light tubes, to my knowledge, was... the Bad News Show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And I was at that too.
Saying / Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
Would you do it again?
If the stars aligned. If, like, it's not...
That's a very poetic answer.
I get... Well, yeah, but, like, I don't... I wouldn't say no, but I'm not just gonna, like, do it for any reason.
If you could handpick... He's getting the eyes from the lady right now. If you could handpick any deathmatch wrestler from around the globe to do it with, who would you pick?
I really like Drew Parker.
Yeah, he's actually on the GCW. He's back in the States. Yeah. He's going to be on the GCW show.
But, like, it's tough because, like, all the hot, like, guys...
guys!
Be a clean drop.
We don't do that here. I don't have the technology to do it.
Clean drops? Okay. Good. No, but like all the like the pop and indie dudes, they all dabble now. Like everyone kind of, like all the guys that are like main names in the scene, they all dabble. Like it's not looked down
like
upon
you're
anymore.
You're starting to see like a guy like AJ Gray, who I love. He's started.
Yeah, and like Nolan Edwards, who like I really like. Like
Nolan Edwards, awesome.
He's super good. He's super, super good.
Mania Week?
Yeah, he was killing it.
He killed himself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know how many matches he had, but just, I don't know how he walked away from
it. No, but like everyone kind of like dabbles now. So like. Even, like, MRB, like, he's done the Lego bumps. He's done the tack bumps. Like, it's not... It's just another... It's, like, our... this is like our generation's like big hardcore phase. And that's what, like, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Like, I don't have any, I don't think anyone should do it if they don't want to. Like, it's not, it's, there's nothing to like look down upon anymore. Like, it can be done very well. It can,
that's fine. It's not,
no, for sure. And it can be an easy entryway for some people. Mm-hmm. Like, it really can be. If you're just willing to do the stupidest stuff, you can get spots. Like, it's not,
I just don't like the misnomer that these are the guys who can't work.
No, and that, I don't think that's
a lot of guys, like a guy like Alex Colon.
Yeah,
fucking awesome.
Yeah, super good. It's just, but like the comedy dudes get like told they can't work. Like, everyone kind of gets told that they can't like do whatever they want to do, but like, we're just here to wrestle. Like, it's not like, wrestle however you want to. If you can,
it's deep again.
Honestly, like, I there's a lot of, it's going, like, it's, I love the tradition, I, but like the, and it's not like a generational fight, and it's not like something I've really ever had to deal with, but there is just like older mindsets are going away, and I think that's a good thing for wrestling. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing for everyone who wants to wrestle to be able to do it. All body types, all shape sizes. Like, anyone who wants to wrestle, like, should be able to if they go through the steps and learn and are capable and, like have passion for it.
Would there be an Effie's Big Gay Brunch 20 years ago?
No, 100% no.
Hell no.
No. Okay. Most of it wouldn't exist.
We're going to go to your second track.
Boom.
This is a band that I've heard of, but I don't know if I've ever listened to. It's a band called TV on the Radio.
They're incredible.
Tell me about this song and why you picked it.
Well,
who is your daddy and what does he do?
So, TV on the Radio is a very good band. They have a lot of songs that me and Marissa like to listen to all the time. And this one is a very poppy and catchy, and it's not poppy at all. It's actually the closest thing to a punk song I can think of that isn't Blink 182.
Okay. What's the song called?
It's called Wolf Like Me.
Wolf Like Me, TV on the Radio on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast.
Takes him bloodlust, takes him red cups, ice chain, our body's rain.
TV, on the radio, on the Punk and Potters podcast, on the Backbreaker Media Network. My name is Big Bad Boris, joined by Genuine Hufflepuff, Colton Kelly.
I'm all four houses.
You're all four. You're 25% Ravenclaw,
of all.
25% Gryffindor, and you're 25% Hufflepuff, and you're 25% the bad guys.
Who are?
We don't.
Well, you can say the name of the house. You
can say Slytherin, but you can't
exactly
say the B-word.
Yes.
I don't mean vagina. Now,
Jesus.
Independent wrestlers that I know of fall into two categories: those who watch lots of wrestling and those who watch no wrestling. And I know that right now you are in the camp that watches no wrestling. Why? Other than Luthez matches, which I find
interesting. I like watching like 45-minute long, like old commentary, like it's black and white, and it's good.
So why are you not watching wrestling?
Because WWE is not very watchable currently.
But there's lots more wrestling on the world.
I understand, but like,
Nick Gage
there's
is
just
on network
like a
television.
There's a lot of content, and I like watching movies and TV shows and documentaries.
Okay,
and
what TV
comedies.
Show are you watching right now?
There's like 12 of them. I'm watching Parks and Rec.
Okay.
I've been watching. We just watched the Fear Street movies.
The who?
Fear Street. They're new R.L. Stein movies.
Ooh,
he made
Goosebumps. Yeah, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. They're very good. Oh, my God. I'm on the spot. I can't do this. I watch Boy Meets World a lot. I'm
Remember
not even
that
watching
night,
that currently.
You
but
me the episode that Vader was on?
Yeah, and there's many episodes that Vader's on.
Okay, well, you show me one.
Yes. Is that the one that where Corey and Topanga dance in the middle of the ring?
I don't remember. All I remember is Vader, and you were really high, and it was like 2 in the morning.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm publicly a weed man now. Not like a weed man, but I smoke marijuana.
You do?
Apparently. It's never been said publicly.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're an advocate?
I'm not an advocate. I just enjoy it, and I should learn more about it.
All right. So you're not watching wrestling. What do we think of Nick Cage on national television?
It's cool. It's what? All everything's cool. Like I'm not anti wrestling. I just don't see very much of it. I don't make the time to watch it. Is probably a better.
Because R.L. Stein's not going to watch himself, right?
Exactly.
How's the keto? Or is that a sore subject?
No, it's not a sore subject. It's just.
How much are you down?
I think 50 pounds.
See, yeah, you look great.
Thanks.
Are you 205 live now or what?
No.
No?
Like 220 live.
You're 220 live?
220 live.
Anything else you wanna bring up? You wanna shoot the shit about? We covered it. We've covered it all. When will we see you back in a wrestling ring again?
When I'm booked.
Oh, you're like Dennis Stamp?
Yeah.
Do you have a...
No, that's not like... I'm not like Dennis Stamp. Let's not go that far. No, I don't...
I'm
like,
not booked, Terry.
No, it's been a pandemic, and I've been working on stuff in my life, and just...
Do you have the itch, though?
I'm itchy. No.
Not that kind of itch. Not the topical cream itch.
No, there's moments that I get, like... think of ideas and I'm
when you see Luthez lock on that headlock, are you like, damn, let's go?
Yeah.
Are you gonna incorporate some Luthez into your
just
repertoire?
Strictly fundamentals from now on. No, I
Colton Thez on commentary.
I get in moods where I'm like bouncing around and I'm like, oh, I could wrestle, but it's when the time comes, the time will come and Colton Kelly will shine.
All right, I guess we pretty much said it all. We are going to go out today to a gentleman by the name of Steven Neufeld, who put a new album out in March, and I didn't even know.
This is the least you've talked about punk music on your Punk
well,
and Pile Drivers
well, kind of
podcast.
Well, it morphed into the first person that I had on as a guest. I think it might have been Taryn from accounting. I don't remember. But I said, you can pick two of the three songs. And that just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So my whole thing when I started this was like, I'm going to talk about wrestling and play music I like. And now it's become, I'm going to talk about wrestling and play music you like, and I just tack on a song at the end, which kind of backfired on me. But next week, we're going to change it up. I'm stealing Duke's idea, and next week, we're going to do Ask Boris.
Well, that's a big
announcement.
I'm going to
collect questions from the atmosphere, and I'm going to get Mike Maloney, Mike Malawani, whatever the fuck his name is.
Because no one knows, apparently.
It's Maloney. I went to the source and I got it, but I still call him Malawani just because it makes me laugh. And he's going to ask me the questions, and I'm going to play whatever the fuck I want. And that's what it's going to be.
Excellent.
And maybe I'll get Sorokin on.
Nice.
And I'll just press record and let him talk for an hour. Who talks more, Andy Anderson or Kurt Sorokin?
Do you know the answer to that better than me?
Maybe we'll get them. Maybe we'll conference call them in on Zoom, and I'll just hit record, and I'll just back out and see what we get. You said you like long podcasts, right?
I do. The longer, the better.
All right. So Stephen Neufeld put a new album out in March that I didn't even know about until I was scrolling through my my Apple Music. So we're going to go out to a song called Come Clean from the new Stephen Neufeld album. Colton Kelly, thank you for inviting me into your estate, your palatial abode.
Well, thank you.
And this is Stephen Neufeld. Next week, Ask Boris. So get your questions ready. I'm going to put posts up on all my social medias where you can ask questions. And I'll give you my opinion, which means absolutely fuck all nothing.
I wouldn't say that's true.
I say it's true.
Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. Peace out, and we'll talk to you all next week.
And with every question why, they'll mention off the jazz with this. Stated conversations got such hated speech. A taste of our new lie. Fill cracks and facts of back to kids. If everything keeps going strong, we'll be coming clean. Don't look so serious and hold that you down. We'll rise and fall like a boat that may drown. Sun finds my path through the blindfold that chains. Some relationships go far than seem. Let's take it one zone at a time. We'll face the pressure of to this. Current fascination's got me coming clean. Don't look so serious, it'll all let you down. Some rise, some fall, the sun sets my sound. I'm blind and blind, I can never let you fall down. Serious, and I won't let you down. We'll rise and fall.